Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Well, welcome everyone to Angel Talk. We're so glad to have you with us today. We're going to be talking about giving praise when everything is going wrong. You know, by recognizing God's presence within and knowing He is ever there for us, it's not always easy when we experience the troubles of the world. So today with Angel Talk, we're going to share the many ways to become living examples of His presence in our life.
So it's not just crawling under a rock somewhere and hoping that things go away.
Not quite.
Okay, I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be what is happening around the world. A lot of people are just really, you know, even sheltering in or, you know, whatever it takes to have to avoid, you know, the confusion, the situations, the, you know, the worries of, are we going to have another outbreak of something, measles or whatever it could be, and, you know, and we have to live that COVID experience. I mean, it's amazing how in the mindset COVID still is. And, you know, I don't see giving it that much credit. I think that had we been more in attunement, could have, you know, just overrun it. But it's still in a lot of people's minds.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, I'd like to share with everyone a little prophecy here. Do you understand the personal power that you have? This is a time to turn your dreams into reality. You have been given the opportunity to be creative just as your Father God is. And if you want to continue to attain the glory and pleasures of the spiritual kingdom, you must abide by the laws of the universe, to follow the Ten Commandments, to understand that life is all about loving, caring, sharing, teaching spiritual ways, and abiding in the Christ Spirit. Here in the physical world, you're given every opportunity to understand how fear can obstruct your path and cause you to become vulnerable to it. By holding to truth, your soul lives in the Christ Spirit. Otherwise, you set yourself up to have to deal with consequences. It never feels good to be accused, berated, abused, and embarrassed. But part of our life's lessons is to be challenged by circumstances and overcome them. Not all negativity is wrong. Sometimes it leads us to a better understanding of who we are and how we have strayed from the path of God. If we choose to hurt, abuse, and use others, we're only setting ourselves up for some serious lessons to have to deal with. By realizing we are one with God and that God never abandons us, we must turn to Him in times of trouble, fear, doubt, anger. We must never lose faith, but come to the conclusion we are meant to be here and learn these lessons so that we can be a better person through it all. It is in service to God we can work our way back to being one with the light of the Christ, where all love, peace, and harmony exist. Every day is a choice or a challenge, but using your wisdom and oneness with God to get through the day, it will allow you a better chance of completing the day the best way possible. Try to work through any fear you may be holding on to, for it is this that keeps you from enjoying the riches of the spiritual gifts that are there for you to partake of. allow yourself to feel more happiness and joy, and manifest whatever brings the glory of God into your life. Thank you, and blessings to you. Well, I want to share some things with you as written by Angeline Welkin and Edgar Cayce teachings. And how do we understand the testing experiences of our daily living? When Judas betrayed the Master Jesus, he did not show resentment or condemn his disciple. Instead, he offered forgiveness to all of his betrayers. We look with this joy upon these opportunities of growth, knowing that the sorrow with which they are woven will unveil into divine love. We recognize that betrayal, insults, and rejections are costly to us only if we do not see them as alarms that awaken us to our spiritual self. Note that blessed is the man who endures temptations, for when he is tested, he shall receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. To receive the crown of life, it is important that we stand strong amid the distressful experiences that are part of our spiritual growth. Fear can readily overcome us in these stormy moments, but for this reason, it is to our advantage to practice the Master's advice to his disciples. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. How do we surrender to life, to the Father, as the Master did in his anguish? In the difficult moments, we remember, O Father, if thou wilt, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but thy will be done. That which is the will of the Creator can be only for the greatest spiritual awareness. What else but love and joy can the Creator will for us? Each one of us is to be in the kingdom of God. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven to strengthen him. Well, when we are asked to relinquish our conditioned ways of thinking, we may experience extreme agony. Our minds and bodies resist change, and they'll cling to habits. So greater inner strength is needed so that we may succeed in walking through those painful moments. And at such times, we can be strengthened through those of the higher spiritual planes, whether they are the angelic beings, the saints, the Father, or our spiritual mother. Waves of strength and inspiration received from these spiritual lights are supportive in helping us to see what obstruction must be eliminated in our lives. And he was in fear and prayed earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood, and he fell down upon the ground. When reviewing the agony of the Master, we must understand that his suffering was not the will of the Father. Because of the political conditions and religious teachings at the time of Christ, the arrest of the Master was inevitable. The Master, in his capacity to surrender, shows us what powers are within us which allow us to be victorious, regardless of the tormenting circumstances in our lives. Once the Master surrendered to what he felt was the Spirit, he was full of peace. All fear left him, and he knew freedom. So too with us. When we totally surrender to the Spirit, we will be at peace, joyously embracing our freedom. And in those cherished moments of our spiritual journey, we never regret that we pray with our heart, Thy will be done. Seldom are we aware that however we attack another, it will come back to us. This teaching is a universal law, and we cannot escape it. So why then are we so foolish to take so little care of what thoughts we nurture in our minds? And they began to accuse him. Whenever we accuse another, we can be sure that we have entangled ourselves from divine sonship. When we are in the oneness with God, we cannot berate another. Such conduct in the kingdom of God is impossible, for the Creator is total love. It is well for us to remember when we're having a biting tongue that what we say of another mirrors to us our own weakness. You see, they have not known nor understood, for the visions of their eyes is shut that they cannot see. But Jesus gave him no answer. How was it possible for the master to withstand the insult, the mocking, and cruelty of his persecutors? What would make it possible for us to remain serene when we are mistreated? The answer to this question is given in the strict scriptures. It is God that girds me with strength and gives my way perfect. Only when we recognize the true source of our strength will we be able to meet abuse and ignorance with serenity. But they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" All sense of compassion and kindness is lost with such mob behavior. And at these times, we are swept into the consciousness of the crowd, and we vent our anger, frustration, and hatred. We lose our perspective and just discharge our hatred and disgrace and with cruelty. And their voices and that of the high priest prevailed. Then Pilate commanded to have their request granted. Like Pilate, we will overlook justice to save our position or our possessions. And even though we have found no fault, we do not follow our heart. Instead of being empowered with justice, we bend to the self that is controlled by fears. We are then among the insecure ones who follow the path of self-destruction. There is a solution to all the cruelty, disgrace, and hatred lingering in our consciousness, and that is love. Only when we understand and live this mystery will we be able to stand before our accusers as the Master did, with no answer necessary but our faith in divine love. The kingdom of God, the glory of the oneness in the infinite, is the eternal destiny of every soul, the ultimate goal of every entity, regardless of his place or position in a seemingly complex scheme of things. In each, there is felt that urge to press on. So, through ignorance and misunderstanding, many seek only the gratification of selfish desires, fighting, struggling, as it were, against the inflexible laws which an all-wise Creator has set. And then eventually, each struggling soul must face the realities of life and make his will one with that of the Divine Maker. With this comes peace in the realization of, I and my Father are one. The door to the kingdom of the Father is through the life, the spirit of the life manifested in the Christ consciousness in the material world. It is opened only by the efforts of an individual. It is about awakening of the Christ consciousness. The Christ spirit comes as a result of Christ-like actions. The activity of the soul expressed through cooperation, a knowledge of self, the ideal set in yourself, faith, virtue, understanding, and patience, stirs an individual, and there is upward growth. The soul of mankind, through the Christ Spirit, comes into its full power and glory. The preparation for the way is a preparation of self. Each of us is the door that he, the way, may enter. So behold, I stand at the door and knock. I am the way, the truth, and the life. we must work to bring that consciousness, that awareness of his presence into our material and mental affairs of life. For the spirit is the life, the mind is the builder, and the physical is the result. So when we seek helping our brother rather than ourselves, we may expect our reward in proportion to the good we sent out. And when we become self-centered, we eventually feel that we are being cheated in life. It is then that we close ourselves to the good we might give out, and at the same time, build a barrier to the good that might flow to us. So as we seek to know the way, we must come to the realization and think not of the hindrances that are man-made, but rather know in whom we have believed and recognized that he has brought all things into being. And as we seek and know this, we are his. And in choosing him, he has chosen us. So as we realize we are one with him, we become workers, pointing others to that joy, peace, and happiness that we've found. We have to contend with many conflicting forces when we would have faith and serve others. Selfishness and sensitiveness shut the ideal from view and prevent a wholehearted cooperation with our fellow people and our daily lives. They may so retard our development that nothing seems worthwhile. These hindering qualities can even bring thoughts of self-destruction. It is only when self is put aside and the spirit is allowed to lead that we indeed are free and able to accomplish anything that is of real lasting value. And when the thoughts of doubt or lack and self-condemnation begin to creep in, the door begins to close more and more until not even a ray of light may filter through the light the way. When these thoughts are allowed to remain in control, there is no despair more terrible. We are shutting out the light and living behind closed doors, closed to God and his goodness. Where these thoughts are, there are suicides and murders and sins of every kind and evidence. We show through service that as he overcame the world and became the way, just so may we, who follow in his steps, overcome all things. We must open the door if we would have the Christ enter. And as we, with the Christ consciousness, manifest his love in our daily walks and in before others, so we open the door. Then we heed the call to the Spirit within that stands ever ready to commune with us as a still, small voice. If we listen and trust, it will teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. And if we would recognize this great intelligence, this great I am, that knocks for admission into every heart, then let us heed these words. You that have named the name may know in our daily walks, in our daily acts, understanding from meditation and prayer. The way to the Father, it is through the Christ, having the Christ consciousness, that we come to the Father, open the door, see the way, and hear his voice. When we close our ears to the pleadings of the less fortunate, we close the door to his presence. For in so doing, we do not manifest the mind of Christ. When we speak a kind word or lighten the care of a brother or sister, we open the door that he may enter, and through him is the way into the Father's kingdom. When we are aware of the Christ consciousness within us, we begin to put into action the Christ Spirit. It is only in the application of our spiritual attributes day by day that we become living examples, showing our at-one-ment with him. We not only open the door, but as channels, our doors. The Father judges us and our relationship to our fellow men. So as we give, so we receive. As we measure, so it is given to us. So as we forgive, so we are forgiven. Not because the Father wills it, but because we have chosen it to be so by our own acts, our words, and our deeds. And it is the Father's good pleasure to give to each nothing less than the kingdom. Our thoughts, our words, our activities, and our general outlook on life are motivated by our concept of Him whom we worship. Our inner life and reaction to all environs and associations are expressions of what we have done with the knowledge and consciousness of His presence abiding with us. His presence abides with us always, for it is in Him we live and move and have our being. We must realize this and come to know and understand that we are the sons and daughters of God. God is spirit. God is one. We cannot separate Him from His creation. The oneness is ever-existent, but is only through our realization and our acknowledgement of its existence that the change is worked in us and life takes on a new aspect. It is our oneness with the Father that the Master stressed while on earth in a physical body when He declared that He could do nothing of Himself. It was the Father within Him that did the work. Just so we, to do the work of God, must seek ever to be conscious of the presence within. What happens to us when our minds are not trained to dispel subtle influences which distract us from our spiritual path? Will we ever know harmony and peace when we are subject to the ambitions of a materialistic philosophy? Will divine intelligence be able to guide us when you take in the hypnotic suggestions of consumerism? But Satan has taken possession. When we are not steadfast in living the spiritual principles taught by the Master, we are targets for distorted influences and suggestions, which can be understood as Satan. These influences can easily root themselves in our minds when we are not firmly anchored in truth. Walking the path of the Master requires us to be alert to the thoughts overburdening our minds. And if we are careless and undisciplined, we, like Judah, can be possessed by Satan. When we are tormented by cravings, what are our choices? We can do as Judah did, allowing our cravings to take power over us, or we can dispose of these temptations with the courage and wisdom demonstrated by the Master when fasting 40 days in the desert. Let us remember that no influence or suggestion has power of its own accord. It is we who give these distractions permission to rule us. And they were glad and promised to give him money, and he agreed with them. How many of us have agreed to sell ourselves for some meager material compensation? The news reports of thefts, violence, burglaries, embezzlements, forgeries, and family disputes which bear witness to this. What sorrow we have experienced because we do not have trained minds and hearts. Whatever our cravings have been in the past, we now have the opportunity to review where our thinking is directing us. We can make the decision to begin a new chapter in our lives that has the caption, freedom. And if we make this choice, we can be assured that our inner guidance will be a directive light and supportive strength to begin anew. For us to receive the direction and courage, it will be most important that we quiet our minds, and through the stillness of the mind, cravings will lose their appeal. and divine intelligence can be the one voice guiding our lives. When we serve, we surrender another with our healing love so that he may see the light of his own freedom, because true service is always an extension of our own inner light. The Master demonstrated this to us in his healings and in his acceptance of all those still veiled in darkness. He who is a leader, be like one who serves. Leadership is not having a position of superiority or prestige. The Master made this point when he said, "For who is greater, he who sits down or he who serves? But I am among you as one who serves." Those who are in leadership positions, whether spiritual, economic, political, educational, would change the face of the planet if each one served in the manner taught by the Master. Kindness, compassion, firmness, integrity, and courage would be trademarks of such leadership and service. And I promise you, just as my Father has promised me a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at the table in my kingdom, and you will sit on seats and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Those who choose to practice this kind of leadership described by the Master will eat and drink of universal wisdom, joy, love, gratitude, and serenity. Simon, behold, Satan wants to sift all of you like wheat. On this journey of service and leadership, you must be mindful of worldly influences that may distract us and lead us astray from our spiritual path. All of us, like Simon, are continually being tested in this way. It is important that we establish a solid spiritual foundation of trust, discipline, courage, and perseverance, so that we do not yield to the distractions and the allurements of our consumer environment. Simon said to him, "My Lord, I am ready with you, even for the prison and for death." Just because we have developed some measure of spiritual awareness does not mean that we can be presumptuous about our spiritual strength. We realized with wisdom that weakness accompanies us until we have attained full mastership. When we are tempted to test waters for which we are not adequately prepared, let us remember the words of the Master. "The cock will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me." If we do not listen to our inner guidance, our weakness will be mirrored back to us, and we will tend to defend ourselves, becoming wounded, fearful, and victimized. And in this situation, when emotional helplessness has overcome us, we can remind ourselves that the Master is among us as one who serves. Remember, blessed is she who believed. Mary lived in communion with God and was able to trust what the angelic messenger said to her. When we are in this oneness with the divine, we lift up others. What happened when Mary saluted Elizabeth? The babe in the womb leaped with great joy. Through our harmony, we activate love, joy, and peace in others. We bring forth their goodness. We help them dissolve their anguish. We release anger, resentment, and hatred buried in their subconscious. We open up passageways for others that lead them to new horizons, to new beginnings. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. When we were filled with the Holy Spirit, we sense and perceive others differently. We perceive through intuition and direct knowing. Like Mary and Elizabeth, we, too, have these higher powers. Because of our fast-paced living and high technologies, we have closed down these mystical aspects of ourselves. These capacities can be restored through prayer, meditation, contemplation, and service. And through focusing on which is our spiritual nature, we revive those gifts which are ours. In ancient times, prophecies, visions, and intuitive knowings were widely recognized. Desert areas seem to be particularly conductive to such mystical experiences. But we can create our own personal desert atmosphere, whereby we can experience wonders never imagined. When we come into the mystical life and live in trust, all that is to be expressed through us will be fulfilled, for we have believed. Jim, I believe that you had some things you wanted to share also.
Well, I just, I've been pondering this for some time now and how to bring this forward to people, because right now I'm getting so many people that are coming, and they all seem to have the same question. Why does everything seem to go wrong? I believe in Christ. I believe in God. I pray. I don't do much meditation, is typically the answer. And meditation is not as hard as some would make you think it is. But, I just feel like there's so much darkness out there. And, if you think about it, when God first created this universe, God said, "Let there be light," which meant that what existed at the time was darkness. And when God said, "Let there be light," there was light. And there was life, and there was new beginning. Wow. So it's the spoken word created light in the darkness. Both cannot exist in the same location. If you have what you think is darkness around you, outside you, somewhere that, that you just feel it is, well, all you have to do is place yourself there. Place your attention there and praise the name of God. And the darkness cannot exist. What dispels the darkness? You do. That's why you were created. When you were created, the darkness was dispelled. God has no enemies. God has nobody that comes up against him. It's only through us, when we allow, or it is allowed for it to influence us, does what we would call something darkness, the angels like to call it the not-so-shiny light. But only then does it have any power whatsoever. Otherwise, it has no power. It has no will. It has no power. It has no ability to do anything. It has no ability to create. It is all false. Anything that is of the not-so-shiny light is false. The only thing that is truth, which is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that was what Jesus said. And just those three little words say it all. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what it's saying is he opens the doors. No longer were we able to cut off ourselves permanently from being able to access the heavenly realms. And if there's a dark spot there, if you occupy it, it's no longer dark. If you are carrying the light of God, if you are doing the work of God, if you are in the material race for the material race's sake, well, then I hate to tell you, but your light can be easily taken. And you leave yourself open for that. Don't do that. It's just not necessary, especially at this time. We are too close for it to even be something that, that occupies our time. Right now, it should be nothing else but God. Nothing else but God and God's work. And God's work is to bring those who haven't heard the word, those who haven't been exposed to it, those who don't understand it. If you don't quite understand what they're asking, take them to somebody who can answer it. But right now, it's the time, because the doors are open. For us to be able to access heaven from here is the whole idea. And it's been open for some time. You know, heaven and earth are connected. Earth and heaven are connected. What does the Lord's Prayer say? I mean, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's telling you that the connection between earth and heaven and the heaven and earth is established. So you can take whatever it is and you can move it into the spiritual realm and it lightens it. It brings it to light. And it can no longer exist as something that hassles you, that harms you, or you think harms you, or that causes you distress or pain or worry or fear. None of that. You take it upward and you leave it there, and it is transmuted because darkness cannot exist in the higher realms of heaven. And, you know, on earth as it is in heaven, in heaven as it is on earth. And it's the whole idea. It's when the earthly realm touches the heavenly realm. You know, what is done in that heavenly realm touches the realm of the earthly. And it's the two, is one. And it's not about what you can own or what you can have. You know, it was a man that bought a field with every bit of money he had. It was a massive field. And he went to the rabbi and he said, I have bought this field, and, oh, it is my treasure. It is beautiful. And the rabbi looked at him and said, actually, you have nothing. And the man said, what do you mean? He said, I have this field. I mean, I took all the money I had that I'd ever accumulated, and I bought this field. He said, but the field isn't your treasure. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, the field is simply a piece of the earth that God created, and that you are now being allowed to be a steward of. So the real treasure is what you can do with that field. True. So will you use it to, you know, start up a plant, making something? Will you use it to create jobs? Will you use it to, you know, to make yourself look better in the community? The whole idea is, or will you use it for the purposes of God? Will you use it to grow food, or to give jobs to people that they can take some of that food and they can be able to eat well, because it will be grown with the energies of their own hands, and that land will reach up and touch heaven, and heaven will reach back down and touch the earth. And it is light. It is full of light. And when you eat food that is full of light, you will be able to tell the difference. You know, everything that's being done right now is being done to take the light out of everything, you know. And the only way that can be done is because we allow it. And we have got to stop allowing it. Walk in the middle. You know, I've said this before, not to walk on the left or the right. Don't look on the left. Don't even look on the right. And you say, but, you know, but there might be something I need over there. There's nothing you need over there. The only thing that you need right now is God, and whatever God can provide you, whatever God wants to provide in that field, God will provide in that field, and you'll know it soon enough. It will come to you, I mean, without a doubt. If your heart is truly in that place where, you know, show me what I would do with this field that it would bring forth your glory and show the connection between heaven and earth and earth and heaven. That's what the Lord's Prayer says, you know, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if we could only see that, I mean, what a difference it will make. When the realm of heaven and the realm of earth are joined, it touches the realm of the beauty of the heavenly. And what is done in the heavenly realm touches the earth. While on earth, we are to store up treasures in heaven. What we store up here, we store them in heaven. That's the whole idea. And what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. When you pray, you are to pray that it is in heaven, it will be on earth. And as you pray on earth, you are to enter the heavenly throne of God. Because the temple veil was rent when Christ died on the cross. It was rent in two, which means that no longer were we separated from the Ark of the Covenant. No longer were we separated from the Spirit of God. And so we can be attached to that heavenly cable, to that heavenly force of feeling, of light, of love, of wanting to do for others as we would do for ourselves. It's the greatest prayer that Jesus gave, or the words of the prophets. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. Love each other, even as I have loved you. If you can do that, you will constantly walk attached to heaven, and what is shown before you will be of God. It will be of Spirit. Now, that's not saying that, that those pesky old boogers won't try to throw something in your path. That's why oftentimes we don't get what we're supposed to do or get what is coming until the 11th hour. Because if it's any time before that, if it's in your mind, it can be read by those not-so-shiny beings. And, they will put obstacles in front of you to keep you from getting there. And so it's oftentimes given at the 11th hour. But if you remain attuned, they will have no power. They have no power. The only power is what you give them. They don't have any of their own. They have no light. And they know that they can't exist without light. Anything that is not constantly restored through the light of God will dissipate. It will be gone. And including them, they have to be constantly fed with something. And so they will try to create as much dissension as they can, because the best thing they can feed off of is the lower light, the lower energies that are created from anything, that is not of the highest and purest. But if you remain in that walk with the highest and purest, they have no power over you. They have none at all. I mean, you may get tempted along the way. So what? The whole idea is you've got to quit looking at what we so often look at as the material and look at spiritual, hand in hand, with heaven, and heaven hand in hand with you on the earth. And you walk forward, and trust me, every day it will show itself. There may be a couple of days, a week maybe or two, that you will be resting. And it was with the Israelites as they passed through the desert. I mean, there were times when they were, at peace. And there were times when they were at a place where they didn't quite have enough food, or they needed more water, or they were just in a complaining mode. There's actually a holiday, so I would call it Holy Day, where the Hebrews gather, and they gather into a place that is a recreation almost, because half of Israel is wooded. The other half is promised land, so you would speak. But they're all the promised land. Is the wooded not because, it doesn't give you the ability to grow or to produce the things you need to, And sometimes we look at things that way. Well, yeah, I've got a car, but it's not really, it's not that boom, boom car I really wanted. Goodness gracious, does it matter? I mean, it's not going to last. It's not going to last forever. And I can tell you right now that cars with made of gasoline, that run on gasoline, are not going to last more than a couple of years at the most, because they're going to change it. So the idea is, know who you are, and know you have the power over the darkness. It doesn't have power over you. I don't care if it walks up to you and says, what's it going to be like if I shoot you? I've got my hand in God's, and that's where I'll be forever. Where you'll be, I don't know. You don't have to rebuke them. You don't have to do anything except profess, the name of God. And that's the whole idea. There's only two sides, and we've created those. You stand in the middle, and you hold the hand of God. And no matter what the right side brings or the left side brings, because I guarantee you, if you try and create something on your own without allowing the will of God to do it, God knows what you need. When you go to God in prayer, it should really be more about praise, praising God's name, you know, Yodhe Vodhe. And I ended with an Om. And, you know, El Elyon, El Shaddai. I mean, there are the sacred names of God. If you don't know Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabayat, and I'm giving it to you phonetically. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabayat. I've been using it for 20 years, and trust me, it will discern. If there is someone with an agenda, it will show itself almost immediately. If there are negative forces that are trying to invade or trying to cause you to, you know, to be tempted or to doubt or to be afraid, it will dispel it. Utilize it 1,000 times a day if you need to. I started using it when I first found it out to move a cloud away from the sun. There was only one cloud in the sky. It was a little one. And when I looked up at the cloud, or I mean up at the sun, it was a beautiful day, and all of a sudden this little cloud started moving across the sky, and it went right in front of the sun. And I thought to myself, well, I could use a little shade, but... And so I thought, I'm going to try this. Not that this is, you know... Some people say, was that really the way you should use a sacred name? You know, I'm not going to answer that for you or for me. All I know is that I needed to know that it was working and even how it worked, because I can't teach you if I haven't walked it. That's just the way it's been, and it's been a tough one. I mean, from the days of my childhood, I mean, I have walked through the pits of hell, and yet God's always been there. I go to my Bible, and there'd be an answer. I could just open it, and right there would be the answer. And the key is, God is there for you. God will never forsake you. So long as you praise his name and give him the credit for everything that comes your way, why not? What do you have to lose? That you're so smart that, oh, wow, I just got a $40,000, $50,000 raise. You know why? Because I am really smart, and they acknowledged it at the company. I'd say there's a little more than that. I mean, when I was a kid, if you got a 75-cent raise, you were doing good. So, you know, there's more to it. And we have to start seeing that there's more to it. I mean, you know, when we see them out there closing the national forest, oh, we're worried about forest fires. No, you're not. You know, I mean, you're just not. The national forests were meant for us to be able to walk in, yet, and be able to sit with the trees and nature. I mean, the beauty of God's creation and the water, and yet they're spoiling it all. And, you know, and we sit back and we watch it. And yet, here we are, we're attached to heaven, and darkness cannot take from us anything. We have the power to acknowledge that light. When Peter kept hounding Jesus not to go to Jerusalem, finally Jesus turned around and he said to Peter, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I pondered that for years. I thought, why did he say that to Peter? I mean, Peter was the rock. Peter was the one he was going to found his church on. And then I realized that it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, you know, you are susceptible at times to being influenced. And he was trying to influence Jesus not to do something. And to him, it seemed the right thing to do because, you know, it probably was very dangerous. But Jesus knew that it was the path and that he had to walk it. And so he finally turned around and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You can do the same. How often have you done that? You see someone that, I mean, their eyes are blood red, and they look like they're about to ready to tear into you. You know, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You have the power. You are holding on to heaven on earth, and earth is holding on to heaven. And you can bind it right then and there. I bind you on the earth, and I bind you in heaven. I bind you in heaven, and I bind you in the earth. In the name of the Father, the Messiah, Emmanuel, my God and my Savior, Christ Jesus, and the blessed Holy Spirit. You know, so many churches, I hear them pray. They don't pray or use the name of the Holy Spirit. Goodness gracious. I mean, you know, some of the churches, and they'll have to deal with this on their own. I'm not going to ever name them. But, you know, if they don't use the name of the Holy Spirit, they are missing the whole, the largest piece of the Holy Trinity, because she takes the spiritual energies, the codes of perfect creation, and she can move them like a mighty rushing wind into the material realm. And trust me, she's like a mama she-bear. You know, you don't mess with her cubs. And, you know, it's like the water will rush, you know, come right up to the edge of the shore, but it won't come any farther because it knows that you don't mess with the Holy Spirit. And too many people, you know, they're ready to, if they're one religion, they're ready to bash another one. You know, that is the worst thing one can do. You know, because if what you see is good, it can't be bad. And good is of the Holy Spirit. And if someone is trying to do good and what you see them, you know, bringing forth in manifestation with God, and they give God the credit, you know, whatever you do, do not condemn it or reject it because of something they did in the past or who they are or what you've heard they do, because it is called the unpardonable sin. And what that just means is that the karma of it will come so fast, so quickly, that it will overtake you, and you won't have time to ask for forgiveness. It will cause you an extreme distress. So the idea here is that it's about you. It's about you understanding who you are. It's understanding who you are.
Oops. Did I come undone?
You did. You're good.
Hold on. Let me get this back on.
It's on. Continue.
Am I back on?
You're on. Mm-hmm.
Okay. There for a minute. I lost my headphones. So it's all of that. It's while living on the earthly realm to dwell in the heavenly realm. Live in the realm of heaven and earth as one. Know who you are. Know that that darkness has no power over you. You are of the light. When God said, "Let there be light," don't you think it was you he was talking about? And it's the whole idea. It is everything. When the Israelites had to walk through the desert, you know, 40 years, there were times it was tough. There were times it was peaceful. And they had plenty. I mean, when the quail were called and the wind, you know, blew the wrong way, it has been said that the quail numbered 1.5 million quail. They were 3 feet deep. When God does something, God does it to overflow. He's not the God of almost. He's not the God of, you know, a little bit. And when God blesses you, give him the glory, and everybody that you mention it to, it's to God be the glory. I know that God, you know, deserves the glory, because of and of myself, it's only that me being connected to heaven while I'm on this earth allows the Holy Spirit to utilize me for whatever it needs, and you will find that all that you need is supplied. You know, I heard somebody say the other day, well, I don't believe in, you know, all this religious stuff. And I just listened for a second. I didn't say anything. And he said, I don't believe in it because, you know, when I go into a church, he said, all of them I've ever been in, he said, all I ever see is a bunch of people on their knees begging for the things they need. And I still didn't answer because there was nothing I was going to say to change that guy's mind. But number two, you know, is that what we do sometimes? God knows what you need before you ask. So it's not really necessary to ask. You hold it in your heart, and you hold it in your mind what it is that you need. But you go to God, and you praise God for answering your prayers, for bringing you what it is that God knows ahead of time what you need.
and it will manifest fairly quickly, quicker than it would if you ask. I've known people that have gone to God and ask. They've asked for 2 years, and they say, God's just not going to answer my prayer because it's been 2 years. It's like, you don't stop long enough for God to answer the prayer. Sometimes you have to stop long enough because, you know, heaven is moving a little faster than we are, and it will manifest itself, but it's not going to jump down in front of you like the house falling on the Wicked Witch of the West. It's going to happen a little bit down the road. It always does. But God knows the time thereof and the time that you need it. And it'll be the right time, and it'll be the right thing that you need. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we're, what we really, truly are working for? I mean, honestly, to me, it seems like it's everything. And stand in the middle. Don't look left. Don't look right. Don't determine ahead of time what you think you may need. You know, well, I'd like to have a red sports car, you know, with a convertible top, with, you know, heated seats. And you're not asking for a blessing. You're telling God what it is you want him to give you. And you're taking away the blessing. Let God give you what you need. And who knows, it might have the heated seats and the convertible top and all the other things that we think of. But it's all about, honestly, if you stand in the middle, there's no darkness on the one side and light on the other. It's all light. You hold the hand of God in heaven, and heaven holds you. And you walk through life that way, and the light is always in front of you, and the shadows are always behind. Did you want to add something, Sandy?
Well, you're absolutely right, Jim. You know, we have to, one, understand that, you know, we are one with God, and God does know everything that we need, you know. And when we praise God for all that we have, God blesses us with more. When we are able to be humble and grateful and show respect, you know, there is more abundance that comes because we are in the flow of that divine spirit, that Christ spirit. And there is nothing that God would not give us if we are worthy of it. And so, yes, I agree, Jim, that, you know, in this oneness as we stand here, giving praise for all that we have, we will find that the things that go wrong, we will have better understanding of how to deal with it. And we will be protected. We will be guided. And we will walk through these things with much more ease and grace.
Absolutely. You know, if you have questions about the things we've talked about today or anything else, you can call 304-567-3354, or you can write to Sandy's, with an S, angeltalk@aol.com. And please, send us your if there's some passage of the Bible or other ancient texts that you'd like to have interpreted, you know, email us, and I will work it in. There's very little in the ancient scripts, text scripts, that are of a monotheistic religion or the Judaic era, the Judaic Christian text that, you know, that we can't interpret. And interpret them in a way that makes sense, no matter how you look at them.
And thank you for listening to our radio show. We hope you'll join us again in 2 weeks. And may God bless.
God bless.